This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. There are hurricane and storm surge warnings for portions of Florida's west coast. A major hurricane, Milton, forecast to smash ashore late Wednesday or early Thursday. ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z.
10 to 15 feet of surge around here. That is more than doubling what we saw just 2 weeks ago, which was a record. You could have homes wash away, cars wash away in that type of surge.
The head of the U.S. Disaster Response Agency pushing back against false claims repeated by former President Trump that some FEMA money is going to illegal migrants. Update: that missile attack of about 190 rockets fired at Israel on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas invasion. Most of the missiles came from Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, some from Hamas in Gaza. The selling of the first rapid home flu and COVID combo tests without a prescription has been okayed by the Food and Drug Administration. Gasoline prices went down some more the past weeks, as the Energy Department. This is ABC News. A spacecraft has blasted off on a fact-finding mission that may save our planet eventually.
The European Space Agency's Hera spacecraft, about the size of a small car, has now begun its two-year journey to a small asteroid known for little else besides the fact that it was used as a dress rehearsal to save the Earth. In 2022, NASA launched its own spacecraft called DART toward the same asteroid to see if it was possible to knock it off its course, if such a rock were headed towards us. All of it will be studied and looked at by Hera using the dozen or so science instruments on board. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
An American climber, along with her British climbing partner, have been rescued after spending 3 days stranded in the Himalayas. They got stuck at 19,000 feet when the rope lifting their food and climbing equipment snapped. They sent an SOS text, but Indian Air Force helicopters were unable to locate them. They're eventually found by a French rescue team. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A woman from North Carolina is waiting out the aftermath of Hurricane Helene in central Wisconsin. Melissa Kay has her story.
Andrea Ducklow said while things are devastated in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, people are getting help. But the spread of misinformation on social media is causing harm, too.
Don't politicize our disaster because there's a lot of people missing. There's a lot of people that have died. And there's a lot of people that lost everything.
I'm Melissa Kay.
A man is in jail after a weekend standoff in Waukesha. Police responded to a domestic incident on Saturday. The man barricaded himself in his home by the time officers arrived. De-escalation efforts failed, so officers used tear gas. The alleged victim and two police officers suffered minor injuries. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers get the win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Rams 24-19. Tight end Tucker Kraft with two touchdown catches, including one that went for 66 yards.
Excellent play call. Like, we had that set up, and we were coming in for our second half adjustments. We liked the defense they were giving us on second and medium, so we dialed it up and we executed.
Wide receiver Romeo Doubs suspended by the team for not reporting to practice last week. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation. I fully anticipate him coming back. I'm hopeful that he'll come back.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 52-6 win over Purdue in Madison. The Badgers travel to Rutgers next. NBA, the Bucks open their preseason with a loss in Detroit, 120-87. Bobby Portis led with 16 points.
To help a team win, you know, I've learned this, to fight through it, go out there and play. At the end of the day, basketball remains the same. The game never changes.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a clear sky, patchy frost, and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high in the low 70s. Heating up for the rest of the week with sunshine, mid-70s Wednesday, upper 70s Thursday, low 80s Friday. It's 63 right now.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Law Forward's General Counsel Jeff Mandel to talk about voting rights and the threat that the MAGA cult poses to our election processes.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabba.
I've become a bad... Look, I love getting texts. And I kind of slacked off there for a while. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite video game? Super Mario, they're making a sequel. And, you know, it kind of called attention to the fact that I haven't played video games. All these video games Conrad is talking about, my son plays, I just am not familiar with them. So I wanted to take a trip down memory lane. My favorite, I would probably say, is Space Invaders. I've offered that up. Conrad, what was yours?
I didn't give mine yet. I would say, though, it is Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is fun. You and Chris Casper, you can sit on Chris's porch.
Yeah.
That does sound like a lot of fun. Anna says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite video game is Pac-Man. I mean, you know a video game is huge when they write a song about it and it makes the top 40 and it's a terrible song. That's huge. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Appleton says, the game was simply called Real, R-E-A-L. It was a zombie apocalypse in space kind of game for PCs before consoles took off. I don't remember that one, but I do remember when you had to play them on your computer before, you know, you had access to, like, the PlayStations. And Bridget says, Space Invaders, love the pew-pew sound. All right, I can get on board with that. Aunt Carla, Conrad's aunt, checking in. She says, we finally got to listen to the show tonight. Grandma Krieger is listening. Plus, we got our Charo tickets in Baraboo this Friday at the beautiful Al Ringling Theater. Very excited. Charo would be very excited. Should we have tried to get your aunt comps?
Maybe we probably should have.
She makes the big bucks, though. Your grandma's going to love that show. I don't know your grandma, but I know she's going to love Charo, because who doesn't? All right, so keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite video game? You can go back 50 years. You can go back to Pong if you want. And there's a certain sweetness and an innocence to Pong. There's no blood. There's no ultra-competitiveness. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight. She's in studio like you
Yay,
always are.
Hello.
I love it.
I know.
Heather
I actually
Hiles
had
here.
This really fun conversation tonight about why are you going to the studio? Like, all the
Who
other guests,
that?
Like, come in. My friend, I'm like, why do you go there? Like, why don't you just call in?
Oh, that's not true.
I would come in, see Pete, hang out, have
people,
some fun. Conrad,
people
all the
that
texts,
are local.
All the things.
Typically come in if they live close
okay,
by.
Great.
And some have even kind of driven. We had the whiskey, the distillery people. They drove like an hour and a half to be here.
Awesome.
And but it's always more fun to have people
Agreed.
In the studio, I think. So it's great to have you here as always. Do you have a favorite video game?
You know what? I don't really play video games. I mean, I go back to like when you would go to an arcade and play
That's okay.
and Pong and that. I mean, Pac-Man, there was an Elvira game that was really fun.
Okay.
There actually, I was just in Las Vegas and they have a bar called No Quarters, but it's all quarters and it's all video games. And Dan and I went in there and ripped it up. Man, it was
wow.
so fun. Like we just were like.
Why do they call it No Quarters?
I don't know. Because you need quarters to play. Because you're playing the video games. But it was really a fun time.
No, remember when you used to have to go in and exchange your quarters for tokens?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a scam and unnecessary busy work was that?
I know. It was just job, you know, justification.
I guess so.
Maybe.
I don't know. So you don't have a favorite necessarily?
I don't. I mean, probably the Pac-Man.
What about pinball?
Love pinball.
Pinball's fun.
Yes, love the pinball. Also, we had an Atari, and then we had the first Nintendo that came out.
Yes.
And so, like, the Duck Hunt and the first
Super Mario.
Loved
Duck Hunt.
Loved both of those. Like, was the master of those. And then I just was like, eh.
Yeah. You know where I lost? I kind of really, my biggest phase in video games was we held out for quite a while with our kids. We did not buy video games until my son was like 11 or 10. My daughter was 5. We got a Wii, and mm-hmm. Wii is really fun.
Wii is fun. I loved the bowling and the
bowling
tennis. And as you got older, and have friends over, maybe have some beverages while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Love the beverage. Here was my routine for the longest time, and this was how I transitioned from Southern California back to Wisconsin. Was Wii golf.
Yes.
I used to put Wii golf on when everybody was asleep. I'd pour like a half a glass of scotch, and I'd play Wii golf. And I'd sip my scotch, and it was amazing. And then when we moved here, and I was like, well, this is a constant. Regardless of where I am, my family's with me, and I'm back home. I'm going to put on Wii Golf, and I'm going to have some scotch. And
it was relaxing. It was your thing.
Phenomenal. Yes. And golf, Wii Golf is like, Conrad, have you played Wii Golf?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you good at that?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. I know like the cheats and stuff on it.
Okay.
Oh, what are the cheats?
I didn't know what?
No, not actual like cheats. It's just ways of hitting it so it does something.
Okay, right.
Oh, something cooler. Else that you wanted to do? Yeah.
I don't want to brag, but I'm a scratch Wii golfer.
Nice.
And so I love Wii.
Yeah.
Those were some amazing games.
That and the Guitar Hero. Like, I'm amazing Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I can't play guitar, but Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero.
Rock and roll.
And you said Mario Kart. And like Chris Casper said, you really don't have to have much talent to play.
No.
Is that the one where they're just racing around, right?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of skill, I think.
Okay.
Because you got to know to, like, turn and get away from obstacles is what I was going to say. So.
Yeah, that's video game bare basics, right? Like,
don't
hit
stuff.
But
there's tricks in everyone. Like, if you do different combinations and stuff. Yeah, like, even when Conrad was talking about the golf.
I remember guys in college that would smoke weed all afternoon and play Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. And they knew about...
Oh, yeah.
You can unlock like 80 princesses. No, not 80, but thousands of gold coins and multiple hundreds of lives. And I'm like, and I even remember thinking, I don't want to ever get that good at this game that I'm sitting there for hours. Like, it's fun to play,
right?
But I just don't care that much.
And those guys are probably like multi-billionaires now who design video games
code,
to do the same thing, writing those codes.
Finding the back way in to get all the coins. So that's cool. All right. So tell us, you know, you're the business director at the Green Bay Children's Museum. There's a lot of business going on over there.
There is so much business
it's
going on
there. It's a great museum.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell us what is happening. What can we look forward to?
Well, we are now going into fall season. So we have our big Halloween Boozeum party coming up. It's a family Halloween costume party.
Boo. Because you said booze and it was constant.
No, not booze.
Be careful.
Not booze. Boo.
It's a family event.
Museum. Family event at the museum. Really geared towards children ages 2 to 9 years old. The whole family can dress up, just the kiddos can dress up. It's an $8 admission fee and it includes all of the fun stuff. So there's scavengers hunts. The Bayport Chemistry Club is coming. And they're going to do a bunch of science experiments with you, making Beetlejuice and making Dippin' Dots. And
that you can eat? Like,
yeah,
right
that
when
you can eat the actual Dippin' Dots.
That sounds really fun.
So just some really fun stuff and a really safe way to celebrate Halloween.
For
$8. That's at the museum. I know.
I got that
how
kind
much,
of money.
The last time you went to a movie, how much was it?
More than $8.
Yeah, there you go.
And I didn't get Dippin' Dots. Our theater does not have Dippin' Dots or Beetlejuice.
You need Coopers. Oh, you need a new theater. Yes. So, yeah, that's coming up October. I have the date written down here in my little notes here. October 25th.
October 25th. Oh, that's right around the corner. Okay,
it is.
So
it's a Friday evening.
Do you guys ever do like a haunted house there or anything?
We don't. We have talked about it. We would have to do not so scary hours and those types of things. So, yeah, it's kind of a. We've decorated with skeletons at the museum before and it's been an issue. So,
really?
Yeah, and we just don't want it to be a terrifying experience for any child there. So.
You're really the one that's scared of skeletons, aren't you?
It's me. It is 100% me. I'm just displacing it on all the poor little innocent children. You go to the board
and you go, yeah. Look, I'm all about the kids, and we're scaring them.
I want that ginormous skeleton that you can buy at like the big box stores right now.
Get rid of the skeletons. Take down the spiders. Somebody please think of the children.
And give them candy. A ton of candy.
All right. So you got Boozy. I love that. That's a great title. What else? What's going on? What you got stuff leading up to the holidays?
Yeah, we're really starting to ramp up for the holidays. So actually last month I was booking all of my Santas. Yes, I have a direct dial to the big guy in red.
Really?
He is signed, sealed, and delivered. Some reindeer are coming on a couple occasions with us. Live reindeer, his reindeer at the museum, right? So after the Green Bay Holiday Parade that Saturday, shoot on over to the Children's Museum of Green Bay. Santa and his reindeer will be there.
That is cool.
It is our holiday extravaganza, so you can sit in a warm atmosphere.
Yeah.
Tell them what's on your list. Talk to them. Frank and Amy are coming to do some caroling.
Oh, fun.
Just a really fun day, and that kind of just gets us into all of that. We have a breakfast with Santa and... yeah, all of the good stuff. And a kids' Rock and Eve party. We're already talking about New Year's Eve. I'm so sorry. But
that's the depressing one, I think. Like, I could even now, talking about Christmas, I know it's only October, but I can kind of get on board with that because that's just a fun holiday. New Year's is like a great follow-up. Well, Christmas is over, but at least we have New Year's. Mm-hmm. But looking ahead to New Year's at this point, too soon, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Planning perspective, absolutely right now. But just save the date.
Yeah.
Back of your mind. Something for the kiddo. You can wear them out. It's at noon. Wear them out. Oh, yeah. And then wear them out. They're sleeping.
Tell them 8 o'clock is midnight.
This is when we ring in the new year.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you need peripheral Santa Clauses?
Conrad, you in?
If you could help me.
A little nightlight promotion.
Speed dial? Okay, maybe. Mm-hmm.
My wife's brother is like in good shape, but he has gray hair and he has a white beard.
Yeah.
And his coworkers at the school he teaches at call him Skinny Santa.
Oh, yes.
So, it could be, not every Santa has to be huge, right?
They do not. They
Conrad and I are more on the muscular side, so we could.
You could do whatever with that. Yeah. Santa comes in all different forms.
We could be like the David Harbour in the holiday film. We'll be there to kick some ass if we need to.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so you got Boozium right around the corner. Can people just show up or do they need tickets?
They can just show up. Okay. We would prefer you pre-register. That just ensures that we don't run out of supplies, that I have enough time to make sure I have enough things for you.
Yeah.
Members are free as always, but they know that. But yeah, otherwise it's $8 a person to come in.
How much is a membership? Like if I wanted to go full-blown museum member?
Yeah, so many different levels of memberships. You can do a sustaining membership where it's $10 a month. You pay $10 a month. You can do a single parent membership for $80 a month.
Do you have a creepy single guy membership?
That would be a single parent membership.
Oh, but he's a single guardian. He's not creepy, but just the guy that
Not just a guy. Every child needs an adult. Every adult needs a child.
I think that's smart.
No, every time.
I think that's smart. Okay.
You get weird right away. Why do we gotta get weird with the kids?
I just go to like, because to me, there's nothing funnier sometimes. Not like guys that actually do stuff, but it's a single guy in a van. My mind immediately goes to, this guy's up to no good here.
Yeah,
Is that wrong? Am I just too jaded of a human being?
No, I feel that way with some people too, where I'm like, oh, wait, okay, what's happening here?
Check this guy out. He's parking in the A lot.
He fits the profile.
Put a man on him.
Okay, yep.
All right.
Call the cops.
Heather Heil is here. We have a lot to talk about. Maybe we're going to start the next segment with Tostitos and salsa, a new dish. I want to run it past Heather and get her opinion and Conrad's as well. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Aunt Carla says her favorite video game is Donkey Kong. Forgot about Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Kong. Yeah, mm-hmm. And Uncle Jim is Centipede, another great one. Cousin Charlotte doesn't have one. Is there a family reunion at your aunt's house
right
now?
Yeah, what's happening?
Did she do all this? Did she make a bunch of phone calls?
Yeah.
I love it.
Just got to know everyone's favorite video game now.
That's a prerequisite in the Krieger family.
You could totally like do something for Christmas with that, Conrad, by the way. Like those, like get them some fun gifts with that. Yeah.
All right, you guys are all getting t-shirts. That's it.
Perfect.
I was thinking more along the lines of the actual games, but yeah, I'll
t-shirt.
Take some swag. T-shirt works. Last year you didn't get me anything, so I'll take a t-shirt. How about a nice tube top?
You know, I like your shirt, though.
That's your go-to.
Mm-hmm. Before we go further, can we talk about your last guest for just 2 seconds?
Yeah, she's great.
She was wonderful. And on my drive in and listening to her, I thought to myself, why in the world are we still talking about this? What kind of planet are we living on where we're still talking about women trying to break a glass ceiling?
I know.
To do these things. Well, it doesn't matter. You are either qualified for their job or you are not.
Right.
Nothing else matters.
It honestly, and I like what I said to her was when I saw that movie, The Peacemaker, I didn't love the movie. George Clooney was in it.
Sure.
And the director, Mimi, I can't remember her last name, but I watched it and I'm like, well, this is just like I went into it. And this is my own ignorance or the age I was at thinking, what am I going to see with a female-directed movie?
Well, right.
And I'm like, you know, are they going to, like, start knitting in the middle of the movie and discussing their problems?
Is everyone going to cry all the time?
Yeah, they're like, going to have a stitching bitch between gunfights. And no, it was just an action movie. It was no different.
You wouldn't know. If you didn't know or pay any attention to that, you wouldn't know.
And I felt really silly after. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I cannot believe I
– right.
And it's like they had the discussions years ago. Well, can an African-American coach a head football team or play quarterback? It's like I couldn't believe they were having those conversations then.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows you how backwards and how it's really troubling. So and the fact that we're talking about this after that movie came out in 97, just to use that as a barometer.
Sure.
It's almost 30 years ago. And it's like,
and
you know,
it's still happening.
Yeah. Catherine Bigelow has directed action films. And you know, obviously, you got Nora Ephron, Sofia Coppola, one of my exes. So, yeah, I agree with you. But she was great. She was a good guest.
She was wonderful.
I
love
people that speak about film and stuff like that. And you said, how am I supposed to follow that?
I know.
Like, well, I'm not expecting you to break down cinema.
Like, I went to Old Fashioned Fest last week. Okay, here I come. Woo!
Did you really go?
I did.
Was that the one at the Resch Center?
It was.
We had...
did you go? Were you there?
No, we had the guy who runs the Resch Center. He was on the show. Great guy.
Terry Charles.
No, it was not Terry Charles.
Jeff Mitchell.
Jeff Mitchell. Okay.
He was so much fun. And he told us all about it. Give us a breakdown of that.
It was awesome. It was so, so great.
Because everything was free?
Well, no, it's not. You pay for your ticket.
Right.
It's $100
true.
A person to get in. Whoa. There are 20. No, there are 20 vendors.
Yeah.
And they each, and this is like high-end vendors. So it's nice places in Green Bay.
Okay.
And they're playing to win. So each of them, 20 vendors, had two Old Fashions each. One was like a standard Old Fashioned, and one was like a la la la, sha sha sha, something
like
amazing.
End.
Yeah. And like high-end whiskeys. And I mean, awesome.
Do you go whiskey with the Old Fashioned? Or
yeah.
Brandy?
And there's some had brandy, but it was like all over the board. And it was like, if you would say a regular Old Fashioned is 8 ounces, these were like 4 ounces. So basically, you were drinking 20 Old Fashions. If you really, really wanted to. Now, I did not, because I'm not a maple syrup fan. So there were some maple syrup flavored Old Fashioned. So I didn't drink those. But that was just a flavor preference for me.
So you drank 16 Old Fashions.
Yeah, I just had 16 instead of the 20.
Does the maple syrup, aren't they sweet enough? That seems like it would compromise the drink.
I see. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. But other people really loved that.
That's really interesting. So it's fun.
And they have food there. And so they do it once a year. And it sells out quickly. So if you're interested in going, do that. I know also in Wild Rose, they do one in June. So just keep your eyes peeled for those. And there's Facebook pages and those things.
It's much safer now. They used to have Old Fashioned Fest and then see who can drive home the fastest.
No, we don't do that. So we need to Uber.
Well, you're saying we. Did you have something to do with this?
No.
Were you involved in? Oh. Okay.
No, I pretend I am. I take ownership of all these things. Like, yes, I drank the drinks. Of course, I was part of it. I ate the food. I did the things. They had music there. And it's really just a great space over there. So if you have not been to that space for an event, yeah, check it out.
I haven't been there in a while, but I have been there, and it is beautiful. What if they had – all right, I saw this today. This is called Julian Edelman's snack. It's called salsa cereal. Did you read about this, Conrad?
No, but that sounds awful.
So it's
it does sound awful.
Yeah, you get a – well, don't judge. Hold on. You get a bowl full of salsa, and you crush – a ton of Tostitos into the salsa, and then you spoon it out and eat it like it's, you know, Lucky Charms.
No. Why would you do that?
Because dipping a chip in is a lot of work, apparently, for some people. No, I would do it maybe if you had, like, a ton of chips in there, but...
It gets soggy.
Yeah.
Like, I am the person when I order nachos that the chips are on the side. Like, put the nachos...
Okay.
And don't put the chips under there, because...
I agree with that.
No. Uh-uh, absolutely not. So this is the same thing to me, in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why, you know, first of all, they made the chips with the scoop. They could not make it easier.
The scoops. I love the scoops. You, Conrad? Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm scoops, a scoops guy.
I think those are the best.
I agree.
Agreed. And you still get that crunch. And why would you put it in there? And calling it cereal for some reason is super offensive to me.
Yeah, I love that you're offended.
Like, what? It's not cereal.
That's what it said. Tortilla chips aren't cheap, so do you ever stretch a bag by awkwardly trying to dip any fragments into the salsa? This is for the chips that are left on the bottom. This could fix that. Tostitos says they spotted a new trend on social media called salsa cereal, and apparently former NFL wide receiver Julian Edelman was an early adopter. I don't understand the connection. Well, this guy played in the NFL, and he eats it.
So he eats it this way, so now we need to do this.
Right.
His
process is simple. You take a handful of tortilla chips, crush them into a bowl, top it with salsa, and go to town. I can think of about a million other snacks.
Right? Hard pass.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. All right, so when we come back, this is what we're going to do. Heather sent me a list of her, what do you call it, a web?
My spider web.
Spider web brain and random notes. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna ask her about the things on our list, and we're going to decipher them. And we're going to talk about our favorite hour-long dramas from the 90s and early 2000s, something people apparently don't watch anymore. So we'll do that next on Nightlight after award-winning news here on the Civic Media Radio Network. There's progress.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. There are hurricane and storm surge warnings for portions of Florida's west coast. A major hurricane, Milton, forecast to smash ashore late Wednesday or early Thursday. ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z.
10 to 15 feet of surge around here. That is more than doubling what we saw just 2 weeks ago, which was a record. You could have homes wash away, cars wash away in that type of surge.
The head of the U.S. Disaster Response Agency pushing back against false claims repeated by former President Trump that some FEMA money is going to illegal migrants. Update: that missile attack of about 190 rockets fired at Israel on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas invasion. Most of the missiles came from Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, some from Hamas in Gaza. The selling of the first rapid home flu and COVID combo tests without a prescription has been okayed by the Food and Drug Administration. Gasoline prices went down some more the past weeks, as the Energy Department. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A rescue team is back in Wisconsin after helping with Hurricane Helene recovery in North Carolina. 16 members of Wisconsin Task Force 1 brought supplies for victims like inflatable boats, life jackets, and protective gear. They arrived at Volk Field on Saturday. The team's leader says they'll return to North Carolina if they're needed. A federal judge is ordering a Rusk County township to bring back its electronic voting machines. James Kelly reports.
The injunction requires the town of Thornapple to offer an accessible voting system at all of their polling places for the November 5th election. The Department of Justice filed a complaint in September alleging that the town had not provided the accessible voting machines to ensure voters with disabilities were able to participate in the April and August elections. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. An upcoming free webinar for members of the public will provide an opportunity to learn more about the Clean Energy Plan Progress Report and the state's accomplishments since the release of Wisconsin's first Clean Energy Plan in 2022. Maria Redmond, Director of the Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, will lead the webinar. The webinar will be held Tuesday from 4:30 to 5:30. The session will highlight programs and initiatives that address the four foundational clean energy plan pathways to ensure a clean, reliable, and affordable energy future in Wisconsin, accelerate clean energy technology deployment, maximize energy efficiency, modernize buildings and industry, and innovate transportation. Join Director Maria Redmond and the OSCE team for the Clean Energy Plan webinar on Tuesday at 4:30. Registration is required. For questions, reach out to osce@wisconsin.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a clear sky, patchy frost, and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high in the low 70s. Heating up for the rest of the week with sunshine, mid-70s Wednesday, upper 70s Thursday, low 80s Friday. Currently, it's 56.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Will White Schoolhouse behind us, the birthplace of the Republican Party, executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the, not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Earl Ingram Jr. joins us at 10:33. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review at 11. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
From the 920, asteroids and centipede. Was I thinking of asteroids before? I said space invaders. I think I like asteroids better. Yes, I am with you, 920. I got my games mixed up. Asteroids, the 920 writes, asteroids and centipede, along with Pac-Man for arcade video games. All I had at home as a kid was Pong on a black and white TV. Conrad,
the Atari.
That's the equivalent of Sagellato for video games.
I've played it.
Yeah. You've played Pong?
Yeah.
Yes.
My dad played it, and he had one, actually, and when I was younger, I played it at my grandma's house.
What'd you think of that?
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get really into it.
Does it get faster?
No. A little bit, I believe it does. Yeah. It starts really slow, and then it gets a little faster.
But those aren't the video games. Like they say, kids that are good at video games now because they have the good hand control going to the military and do drone strikes, that ain't happening with Pong.
No.
Those are like the...
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite video game? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Heather Heil is here spending hour number two with us as we broadcast live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. It is gorgeous out there, isn't it, tonight?
It is stunning. This week is like the perfect fall week. I'm so excited for this weather.
You know, my wife and I were talking about that. If this is climate change and it means 70-degree weather through most of October, I am not in favor of climate change.
No.
I know that very bad things will happen, but as someone who lives
in other regions,
correct?
Yes,
but you know, people. I don't know.
But
there's
here,
like
it's
supposed
just beautiful
to be this
here. Yeah.
Big migration to Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin in 20 years. Our property values are going to be through the roof.
Buy, purchase, purchase, purchase.
That's all I'm saying. I could be talked into selling.
It's going to be snowbird reverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to go to Arizona anyway. All right. So during the break, you were telling me you were watching the Menendez brothers. I cannot bring myself to watch that on Netflix. How do you
Friends.
Feel?
Friends, I totally got sucked into that rabbit hole this last weekend.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'll just watch one episode and see. And I couldn't really remember what the story was based on. I mean, I knew these two brothers were accused of killing their mother and father, but I didn't really know how it ended and what all of the details were. Oh, my stars. First and foremost, there's a lot of crying from the brothers in this as you're watching. Like, I didn't cry at all. But watching them, there's a lot of crying and a lot of emotion. And it's just...
remorseful crying or crying that we're in trouble or crying that...
All of it. And sometimes you're like, you're fake crying. And it was just these brothers, at the end of the day, I feel are complete psychopaths.
Wow.
At the end of my perspective after watching that, and I was sharing with you also, I want to be really careful with that because I have very strong feelings about the Stephen Avery piece that I watched as well. And I felt one way towards that, and the documentary kind of pushed it another way. So just watching that of like, okay, they're kind of manipulating a little bit how you're feeling there. But it was also the factual things. Like, I didn't realize the O.J. Simpson trial had an impact on that case, and all of the abuse and book deals and all of that stuff that was, I mean, that was so new then.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, we were talking about the Avery case. Let me, I'm going to run these three trials by you. First thing that comes to your mind, guilty or innocent? O.J.
Guilty.
Avery.
Guilty.
Menendez brothers.
Guilty.
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry.
I'm glad you're not on the jury.
Okay.
Conrad ever goes down for some major crime.
Sorry. I just...
I'll be a character witness, buddy. Don't worry.
I firmly believe you are innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
But there are some just tells with
things.
No, but
things. If you did it, and you did it. Yeah.
It just... and with the Menendez brothers, they're 100% they did it.
Yeah, correct. And they admitted it, right?
They've admitted it.
Yeah.
There's tapes. There's books. There's everything. They did it. But they're just because of our legal system, they're going to reopen this in November of this year.
Why are they? But is that
because they found
of appeal after appeal?
Something with a mistrial from the last time when they were convicted because some form of evidence or something wasn't put in. So they're now like 55 years old, both of that. Well, in that range.
Right.
And they weren't supposed to have any parole. They were trying to give them the death penalty. And they were able to not give them the death penalty.
They're in California, right?
One is at Folsom, and I'm not sure where the other one is. But they separated them because they were just too dangerous together.
Wow. I have not. It's not like I wasn't going to watch this Netflix special, the Monsters show. Mm-hmm. But I remember the trial, and it's the same thing with OJ. When you live through a trial and you're inundated with it every yep. day, and Jay Leno's doing the Edo dancers, and you know Marcia Clark changed her hair, and oh, that she and the Christopher Darden might have a thing going. It had mm-hmm. its own drama within drama.
Yes, for and sure.
It was just so depressing when I first saw that case, and it was so depressing to someone who didn't know anybody involved. I'm like, I don't want to watch the trial, but even though I didn't watch the trial, I was inundated with information from it. This was so weird. The Menendez. Mm-hmm. I was like.
So sad.
I don't want to watch it. You know, I don't want to relive that. Like, why would I do that? Now, I was talked into watching the OJ, the thing with mm-hmm. David Schwimmer that they did.
I have not watched that, which I should
watch. You'd probably really like
yeah,
it. It is very well done for what it is. But to me, it was a reenactment of what I had already seen. Mm-hmm. They aren't throwing any curveballs at you.
Right.
You know, they kind of, they lead you to maybe have some compassion for this person where you didn't before, but it's not something I need to watch, I guess, you know.
See, I my brain doesn't work that way. So when I just need to watch, and I'm going to call it garbage trash TV.
Right.
And that's no disrespect of just mindless, but this turned out not to be mindless because my mind was like, "Oh my gosh, did they do it? Did they not do it? Did they do it? Are
yeah.
they like were they sexually abused? Were they What was really going on with them?"
And that was the first thing I thought was, well, they had to have been abused. And this has to be like an anger killing, because why would two people do that unless they're both individually absolutely insane? And what are the odds of that happening? I mean, look, they've got their quirks.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Don't we all? I mean, we all.
But you sound
standards.
Very judgy, Heather.
No. Sorry. Yes.
I'm kidding. No. I don't know. Conrad, are you going to watch that?
I really don't like those type of shows.
See, I love that stuff.
Oh, I'm more yeah. of a comedy guy.
What if Adam Sandler played one of the Menendez?
Well, right? Then I'm in. I'm in.
Right.
I'm in then.
Happy Menendez Gilmore.
There you go.
What else are you watching? You got anything else good for us?
I also, on Netflix, I was kind of in the Netflix vein. Well, I had just wrapped up watching Nobody Wants This with Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
So good.
Tell, I don't
so
know
good.
Much
I didn't know
that.
How much I needed this show until I. Now, this
oh,
is normally
great.
What I watch. Like, true story. So it is Kristen Bell's character is a non-Christian who falls in love with a rabbi.
She's a non-Christian who falls in love with a rabbi. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she has a podcast and with her sister, and they're cynical about men. And then she meets this rabbi and his rabbi family. She's a shitska. I don't know what the Jewish word for it is, but someone
Conrad
who is not,
was ready with the dump button.
Dude, no, like, what is she saying? No. It's just this really light, beautiful love story that's based on a true love story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were they both married or something?
Nope. Neither one of them was married. And they just, like, they found each other and they fell in love. And they're not supposed to. But what do you do when
Why weren't they supposed to?
Because she doesn't believe in God and he's Jewish. And she just has no religion. And Jewish families need to marry other Jewish families.
Other Jewish people.
When this, according to this story, and I right. know nothing about the Jewish religion, full disclosure.
Shame on you.
No.
Are you telling me you did not celebrate Rosh Hashanah?
I did not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I'm not, you know, I had a lot more Jewish friends when I lived other places. There aren't
sure.
a ton of Jewish people in Northeast Wisconsin, but I sent out a few emails last week and my friends were like, sorry I didn't get back to you. I was celebrating Rosh Hashanah, and I had totally forgotten
right.
about the holiday because mm-hmm. it's not on our radar here.
Yep.
But all right, what is that on? What's the Kristen Bell show?
Netflix.
All right, wow.
They're both on Netflix.
All about Netflix.
Yep. Okay. Trying to get through The Bear right now as well, which I love The Bear.
What season are you on?
I'm on season 2 still.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chef.
I keep watching, and people talk like that. Everybody calls
yes,
each other
chef
and chick.
Neurotic kitchens. Chefs. That's a whole nother topic. That's a real thing.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, you could do a topic some night here of like things that people who've worked in the service industry of what things that chefs have done. Mm-hmm.
Like
it's
how
a whole
weird
thing.
Would it be? Could we talk about everything? Or?
I worked in a kitchen once, and I had a chef throw a fork that stuck in the back of my arm because he was so angry. Like, that's real. That's not fake.
What did you do, Heather?
I don't know. I did something that he thought was really stupid. There was language.
That's
like
not
there,
justifiable
yeah,
on any level.
But it was just, and then, like, after you have drinks and you're, like, it's fine. It's just the service industry in really high, stressful service industry
wow.
places.
Mm-hmm. You know, I could use a little bit more of that at the places I eat at, where it seems like there's kind of a laissez-faire, let's get Peter's meal whenever.
Yeah. No, in that back kitchen, you don't know what's going on.
No, I don't know that I want to.
So you could be like, hey, I want to go back there.
I want to check it out. My guest is Heather Heil. She is the business development director at the Green Bay Children's Museum. Make sure you check out Boozeum October 25th.
October 25th, Friday.
And it's $8. Cheap. All the booze.
So
affordable. No, I'm kidding. All the booze. B-O-O-S you can handle. They're going to have, what is it, Dippin' Dots?
Dippin' Dots. The Bayport Camp Club. Club is coming, and they're going to have like six different activities, and one of them is the Dippin' Dots. So you'll actually get to make your own Dippin' Dots and then enjoy them.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go over your list. This is what I was going over earlier with Heather. I said, what should we talk about tonight? And she sent me this list. Yeah, show the stream. This is Heather's.
I don't know if they can like see that.
Maybe tilt it down a little bit.
Yeah.
This is Heather's like, okay, no. Not chicken scratch. You have good penmanship, but it's sort of like, here's what I'm reading, like when you sent this to me. Yep. Soup Walk, Soup Sister, French Onion Museum.
No, Mushroom.
What? Oh,
Mushroom. Okay. Yeah, that was my little
What is that? That's October 12th in Appleton. What are we looking at?
No, I just did a soup walk this past weekend in the pier, and it was amazing. And they have one coming up in Appleton this weekend. There are still tickets available. If you have not done this, you actually are just walking around taste testing soup. It's unbelievable.
The old soup and walk.
And it's going to be a gorgeous weekend. And the money they raised to go to different charities. So like the Tapir one just did it to their food pantry. So.
Oh, that's so great.
Like fun stuff to do. So I usually just try to share with you what I've been up to, Pete, and what you find interesting. Because I don't know. I just like to do interesting things.
After all this time, you still have no idea what my interests are, do you?
No, okay. None.
That's the way I like to keep it.
Okay, perfect.
What is this? This sounds interesting. Recent MKE plush velvet walls, Bryant's random. What does that mean?
So we just went to Milwaukee and we went to Bryant's, which is the oldest cocktail lounge in Milwaukee.
Oh, I love it. Red velvet booths.
And they had their plush velvet walls.
That is so cool.
And it is unbelievable. 1938 was when they opened. Still original stuff. And you go in and there's no drink menu. You sit down and you tell them things that you like and they create cocktails for you. So really,
is this on the east side?
I'm not sure exactly where it's located. Yeah.
Okay.
So we went there and it was awesome.
It almost has like a speakeasy sound to it.
Totally.
Oh, I love that.
So good.
Milwaukee's such a great bar town.
Agreed.
Do you ever go to the Safe House?
I have not been to the Safe House.
Really?
That is the one place in Milwaukee I've not been.
I don't know. Conrad, you went to school there. Did you ever make your way to the Safe House?
I never went to the Safe House.
We road tripped up there when I was in college at DePaul University from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, you got to go to the Safe House. You got to road trip to Milwaukee. And go to the. Well, everybody road tripped to Milwaukee anyway because it was Milwaukee. But yeah, it was, and I didn't know if it was still there. But
yeah, it's still there. Don't know the password, but
you'll find out.
I had it last year, and I forgot.
We've got to find out
the
password.
What do you mean? Is it the same thing all the time?
I think it might be.
Yeah. I think it is.
It doesn't make sense. They don't change it periodically?
No. It's like one of those, no. Geez. I know.
It's no fun. All right. Well, let's do another one here if we can get this before the break.
What do you want? Yeah.
The Ash Inside the Iron Horse Hotel. Oh, ooh, yeah. That sounds cool.
So this was a restaurant that we went to while we were there called The Ash, and their specialty is banana bread French toast. So we went there specifically for that. You need to get there early because they do sell out, but so much so that I didn't get it when I went there.
Oh, come on.
I know.
All right, so here's what I'll tease for our last segment. Heather will help us close this down. It is National, what is it, Conrad, Bathtub Day or Bathtub Day? Yeah. So, you know, I'm probably going to take a bath later just to celebrate. I do every night anyway with rose petals, but this says bath.
Sound bath.
Sound bath. All right, we'll talk about that next. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back to close this thing up on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, a Monday edition, ladies and gentlemen, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am coming at you with the recommendation that if you have recently lost your job, I am so sorry, and you should apply for unemployment. Look, we all pay taxes for a rainy day, and being unemployed is that day. It doesn't matter if your employer is letting you go because they're downsizing or because they don't like your work. You can submit a claim to your state unemployment office. Now, the only reasons you can't get unemployment is if you quit your job or if you've been fired for like certain kinds of serious misconduct. Now, you can apply the very first day that you are out of work. If you wait, you're not going to get back payments. And after you apply, sometimes your employer will say you're not eligible because they have to pay. In that case, you just appeal the decision. People do this all the time. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community. And look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Craig Kinnett checks in on the stream. He was here last Monday night, a week ago tonight, with Dan Davies promoting the giant spider invasion event in Wauwega at a really cool old opera house with director Bill Rubain, who is a Wisconsinite and directed the cult classic. And they had a big event last weekend. And Craig just dropped me a note that said, just want to let you know that our giant spider invasion event this weekend was a massive success. We nearly wore Bill right out, but Bill is 87, by the way. We nearly wore him right out, but he managed to last the entire night and had a twinkling in his eye the next day. Thank you so much for helping us get the word out. It was my pleasure, Craig. It was great to have you guys on the show and glad the event was a big success. I love stuff like that. Like
I do too. I'm like, why didn't I know about this? How awesome is that?
Well, you obviously weren't listening to Nightlight last Monday.
Well, I was kind of busy last week, remember? Had some stuff going on.
Yeah,
but I love these experience-based things.
Agreed.
And when you have someone like Craig, who I'm like reading into this text, who are passionate about what they're doing, I'm all about that. I think that's amazing.
No, it's really cool. These guys they had nothing to do with the film, but they met Bill later in Bill's life, and he lives in northern Wisconsin, and he makes his home there, and he shot this movie. And it's it's a little campy, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's the epitome of a cult classic. So
love that.
Glad the event went well. All right.
Do it again.
First of all, also, you said
You said so many things.
I know.
Pete.
I don't want to say this because you just kind of said it during it. You said you saw someone vomit.
Okay, I did.
Old fashioned.
A couple of people.
You left the best part of the story out, Heather.
Okay, I really try to be.
People vomiting is always entertaining
positive,
on the radio.
Positive person. And I'm like, I'm talking guilty. Okay, anyway. So I saw a couple of people that Old Fashioned Fest won them 0 and they didn't do so well. And I think maybe they were just so full and had a lot in their belly. So they weren't feeling
drinking
too good.
Those old fashions on an empty stomach. That'll do it.
Sugar.
Woo. Yeah. And the fruit.
Yeah.
I mean,
all of the things.
This is making me. I may have to grab one for the ride home.
Maybe two.
Bath sound therapy is on your notes here.
I know.
That we are deciphering. What is bath sound therapy? I kind of know, but
sound
explain.
Bath therapy is something that's kind of a new concept where the singing bowls, have you seen these used in yoga? They're big bowls and they make music and chimes. And a friend of mine recently had a baby and she went to go back to work and realized how much health or child care was. And she thought, I'm not going to go back to work for that much money because I'm not going to work to pay for childcare when I could raise my child. She ended up staying home. And in doing that, Pete, she kind of lost her professional self and lost who she was. And I think that a lot of people can relate to this when they stay home with their children of, okay, who am I? What do I want to do? And she started having some anxiety attacks and started doing this sound therapy. Fast forward, got herself certified, and now she's doing it here locally in Green Bay. And they do this all over the country.
Wow.
You do to do this because there's certain sound vibrations that do different things to your body. So she wants to, she's going to start doing it with us at the museum for moms and babies. And I'm really, really excited about this. So you can like check out that information on our website and Facebook if you're interested in doing that.
What is the website, by the way, that people could check that out on?
gbchildrensmuseum.org. So you can go check us out there and find out that information. But the sound bath therapy for any adults out there who don't have children or want to do it with their children, for high anxiety, stress bugs like myself, who just need to shut your minds off and just relax for 40 minutes, this is the way to go, my friends.
So is it like, does it like kind of hypnotize you? Is it a little bit like self-hypnosis or something? Or is it more of just
more of a meditation, I would say. And I can't because my brain is fireworks and you see my spider web notes here. But it's laying on a yoga mat for 40 minutes and just they give you a word to say in your head. So mine was like free. You just need to be free right now. Just be in this moment, be free. And I didn't think things were happening to me, but like at one point I like touched my face and I was like, why am I crying? I'm not sad. Wow. I'm not thinking of anything. I just like my body was just releasing emotions and it was just really an incredible thing. And it's going to be part of my self-care with a sound bath.
That's really cool. You know, I've done that like with meditation.
Yeah.
They give you a word and then you're supposed to say the word. And then when you stop, if your mind drifts a little bit, you start saying the word again and you pull it back and keep it inside you. Fascinating stuff. I've only done it once. It was 10 years ago, but I really swear by it now. I know I don't do that enough. You know what I mean? Because that is great. Like anything to get your mind off the rat race or all the stresses in your life is.
If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of other people. So we need to like carve out that time. So that's why I wrote that note here of, if we were able to talk about it, of please just make sure you're whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
No, please just find that time to just, even if it's just sitting for a half an hour and playing a video game, whatever that thing is.
I got excited when I saw that note because I thought maybe it is National Bathtub Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't really know what that is or if we're supposed to celebrate maybe the shape of the tub or if it has two different spigots. I don't know. But it seemed like kind of a vague,
just
weird
to celebrate
thing.
That you can take a bath and we can be clean. And
true.
I don't know.
Conrad, do you take baths?
Occasionally.
Do you?
Maybe.
You prefer showers, though?
Yeah.
On a normal basis. But if you take a shower, like, do you do, like, bubbles? Do you do scents?
You mean a bath?
Be honest. Yeah. A bath.
Well, nah, I just put the regular soap in.
He just puts on the movie Salt Burn and soaks. Well, has a good soak.
I got one of those really, 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 really small tubs.
Oh.
So it's not that fun if you do take a bath.
You're like in the fetal position. Yeah.
No, that's yeah. Not that's
good. This was fun. All right. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, on Nightlight, we have another great show. Patrick O'Donnell will be here. He is the founder of copsandwriters.com and a former Milwaukee cop. So we're going to talk to him about his books and his podcast. It's going to be great. And then Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival joins us to talk about the Joker sequel. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Thank you to Heather Heil.
Thank you.
So much fun. And thank you to Mariah Gates. And thank you for all your texts. Been another great night here at Nightlight. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. I'm Pete Schwab. Good night, Wisconsin. I'll sing it to you.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time, our friend Luke Mathers, for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, which will include a presidential visit from Joe Biden. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard.
Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.5.